Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, creating finished basements for family fun, fitness, and entertaining. Ideas at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, October 16th. I'm Jonathan All, in for Abby Larico. When the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra teams up with Rock and Rollers for a Chuck Berry tribute this weekend, it will highlight Berry's enduring influence.
Growing up in St. Louis, I thought that rock stars came from England. When I found out that Chuck Berry was from St. Louis, that blew my mind, and I wanted to know everything that I could know about him.
St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin talks with rockers playing in the tribute about Berry's effect on their music. That's coming up on The Gateway. Missouri Attorney General Katherine Hanaway is asking a federal court to prevent a statewide vote on a new congressional map. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more on the national implications of Hanaway's suit.
A group called People Not Politicians is gathering signatures to put a new congressional map up for a 2026 statewide vote. If they gather enough signatures, it may be difficult, if not impossible, for the plan to go into effect until 2028. But in a lawsuit filed in federal court, Hanaway is contending that putting a congressional map up for a referendum is unconstitutional. She says that drawing congressional lines is the exclusive domain of the Missouri General Assembly. If Hanaway is successful, it could call into question an effort in Utah to put a map that could help Democrats up for a statewide vote. People Not Politicians have until mid-December to turn in roughly 106,000 signatures. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
People Not Politicians is also facing a big obstacle from Secretary of State Denny Hoskins. Hoskins approved the referendum for circulation yesterday, but he added that any signatures gathered before yesterday won't count toward the final tally.
According to state law, until the referendum has actually been approved to form and everything else, then that is when the signature gathering can start.
But proponents of the redistricting referendum say that Hoskins cannot use administrative delays to chip away at a 90-day time limit to gather signatures. They add they will fight to make sure they count toward the final tally. Nearly 500 fewer people in Missouri died from drug overdoses in 2024 compared with the year before. That's according to new data from the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services. As St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports, it's the second year in a row that reported drug-related deaths have dropped.
1,450 people died from overdosing on opioids, stimulants, and other drugs last year in Missouri. However, such deaths are going down in every part of the state. The St. Louis region saw a dramatic decline. The Kansas City area now has the highest rate of overdose deaths in the state. Rachel Winograd is the director of the addiction science team at the Missouri Institute of Mental Health. She says a drop in deaths is something to celebrate, but one statistic doesn't tell the whole story.
There is a lot of suffering still out there. There is a lot of struggle. People continue to not be able to get the services they need.
2024 marks the lowest number of reported fatal drug overdoses in the state since 2017. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
Collinsville city officials say they're working to identify funding to help residents pay for special water filters. The filters are needed after the city announced last month its water tested positive for so-called forever chemicals, or PFAS. City manager Derek Jackson says finding funding is one of the biggest challenges before the water plant is renovated in 2029.
We hear you loud and clear on that. That's something we're very concerned about, is how do we bridge the gap to 2029 that provides assistance to our community, and we're determined to make that happen.
Numerous residents say they'll struggle to afford certified equipment. Individual filters can cost between $20 and $1,000. In all, the city anticipates they could cost more than $1 million. Today is National Feral Cat Day, and the Carroll House Quick Fix Pet Clinic in St. Louis is advocating for its year-round push to have feral cats spayed and neutered. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley visited the clinic this week.
Tiny kittens housed inside their cages are desperate to be free after their surgeries. Community cat coordinator Bonnie Boehm says getting feral cats fixed decreases the spread of disease and fighting.
I love it when I pull up and I see a bunch of really well-fed, shiny, healthy cats lounging on a porch, and all of them have an ear tip, which means that all of them are spayed and neutered.
Last year, 2,900 feral cats were fixed between the clinic's two locations in St. Louis and Rolla through the Trap Neuter Return Program. It costs $25 to have feral cats spayed or neutered at the clinic, but options are available for those in need. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
The St. Louis Symphony Orchestra will celebrate Chuck Berry's musical legacy with two concerts this weekend. The shows will feature the orchestra and several guest artists interpreting songs by the rock and roll pioneer who would have turned 100 years old this coming March. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin spoke with three of the performing rockers about the impact Chuck Berry had on their music.
In a 1956 song that celebrates the ascendance of rock and roll, Chuck Berry famously told Beethoven to get out of the way of the new sound.
Reel and rock with, run another roll over Beethoven, dig these rhythm and blues.
Now Beethoven is rolling back, in a sense. The St. Louis Symphony Orchestra will give the ultimate big band treatment to Berry's songs, with help from rockers including Berry's son and two of his grandkids. Guitarist James Walborn is part of the house band this weekend. He says Berry made an early impression on him.
I first saw him when I was like 7 years old at Hammersmith Odeon in London. That really had a huge impact on me.
Your father took you to a rock concert when you were seven?
Yeah, and I'd already been going to them about for 2 years, so I was already, you know, well seasoned. But Chuck was one of my first. But yeah, I think it made a huge impact on me, really. And here I am today.
What kind of an impression does someone like Chuck Berry make on a seven-year-old in London?
Seeing one of those architects of rock and roll when you're that young, you know, still sort of in his prime, really. I think just seeing someone like that live in the flesh, you can't beat that. And it completely defines how you grow up musically and definitely the musical choices I made, for sure.
Berry's influence is also strong closer to home. St. Louis native Brian Howland Hurd leads the band Daddy Long Legs, which has a lot of early rock and roll energy in its music.
To me, when I was a young boy growing up in St. Louis, I thought that rock stars came from England, you know, the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. When I found out that Chuck Berry was from St. Louis, that blew my mind, and I wanted to know everything that I could know about him.
That was when you were how old?
Probably under 10 years old.
Oh, wow. Where in your music might you cite the influence of Chuck?
Through the lyrical content, I would say.
Oh, interesting.
I think Chuck Berry, he's the rock and roll poet. And from my early days of attempting to write songs, he was the guy to look to because I think his lyrics is just the storytelling. He just painted a picture.
I think maybe an underrated part of his legacy and what he did at the time was scoping out the world of what is rock and roll interested in for at least his first couple decades. Like, what are we going to sing about? Who is this music for? And he had a new answer to that, which is teenagers, really.
That's right. Yeah, he captured the American spirit in 2.5 minutes.
I left my home in Norfolk, Virginia, California on my mind. I straddled that Greyhound and rode him into Raleigh and on across Carolina.
Chuck Berry's son, Charles II, and grandsons, Charlie Berry and Yahi Eskridge, continue the musical tradition in their own bands. Eskridge will sing lead on a few songs at Powell Hall. He says the SLSO turning into a Chuck Berry cover band for the night is an unexpected addition to Berry's legacy.
I just wondered, oh man, if my grandpa had any idea that he would have such an impact on the world when he was just starting off doing all this, you know, especially like being a black man too and all the things he had to do just to be recognized as somebody that deserved respect, that deserved to be paid, that deserved to be played, to being one of the most influential people in modern music. And to see that it is moving into the future, even when now that he's gone, is, I think he would be pleased with that.
Roll over Beethoven, tell Tchaikovsky the news.
That was Yahi Eskridge, Brian Hurd, and James Walborn speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin. Our Rob Edwards edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. We are a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur, but today let's hear some more Chuck Berry on our way out. This is Promised Land. I'm Jonathan Aull, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, This has been The Gateway. Los Angeles, give me no fall.